All right. For those of you who have been around, you can see some new faces in the room, eh? Can I introduce you to some of my friends? Yeah? Okay. Claire Tickler. David. Where are you, David? Stand up. David Tickler. Susan. Susie and Phil. Can you guys stand? Come on. Susan and Phil Tires. All right. These wonderful people I had the pleasure of traveling with, they're only half the team that went down to Nicaragua. And I had the pleasure of getting to know them. And Jen and I were just so thrilled and touched. And I am surprised to see some of them here. Dave and Nancy, you guys came in from London this morning. Phil and Susie have come in from Burlington. And Claire, you and your family are in Guelph. So, you know, I'm just so thrilled that they're here to hear what I have to say. Hopefully I don't disappoint. Hopefully the spirit in me doesn't disappoint. All right. Today's message I have entitled Longing to Come to You. There's a story behind it. But in preparation for going to Nicaragua, this scripture was going in through my head over and my heart over and over again. I could hear Paul's voice saying, you know, I long to be with you, that there could be this exchange between us where you would encourage me and I would encourage you. And so that was my expectation. I'm going to read out of all of my scriptures are going to come out of the Passion Translation. And the reason why is because this year, that's what I'm reading. I like to read a different translation every year to keep my mind fresh so that the words on the page don't become wallpaper. You know, you can get so familiar with a voice that you actually stop listening sometimes. And so this has challenged me. I'm really enjoying it. It's very delicious. And meeting me right where I'm at. I'm going to start with Romans 1. And if you have a Bible on your phone, I encourage you to open it up. You might not have the Passion Translation on there, but this is where I'm starting. I'm going to read this to you, not once, but twice. So first I'm going to read it to you as it's written in the scriptures, and then we're going to do some imaginative play. We're going to exchange pronouns, okay? So here we go. Romans 1, 1 to 17 in the Passion Translation. Paul, a loving and loyal servant of the Anointed One, Jesus. He called me to be his apostle and set me apart with a mission to reveal God's wonderful gospel. I write this letter to all his beloved chosen ones in Rome. For you have been divinely summoned to be holy in his eyes. May his joyous grace and total well-being flowing from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you. My commission is to preach the good news, yet it is not entirely new. But the fulfillment of the hope promised to us through the many prophecies found in the sacred scriptures. For the gospel is all about God's Son. As a man, he descended from David's royal lineage, but as the mighty Son of God, he was raised from the dead and miraculously set apart with a display of triumphant power supplied by the Spirit of holiness. And now, Jesus is our Lord and Messiah. Through him, a joyous, producing grace cascades into us, empowering us with the gift of apostleship so that we can win people from every nation into a faithful commitment to Jesus to bring honor to his name. And you are among the chosen ones who receive the call to belong to Jesus, the Anointed One. I give thanks to God for all of you, Because it's through your conversion to Jesus Christ that the testimony of your strong, persistent faith is spreading throughout the world. And God knows that I pray for you continually and at all times, for I passionately serve and worship him with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. My desire and constant prayer is that I would be able to come and visit you. According to the plan and timing of God, I yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you, for I long to impart to you the gift of the Spirit that will empower you to stand strong in your faith. Now, this means that when we come together and are side by side, something wonderful will be released. We can expect to be co-encouraged and co-comforted by each other's faith. So, my dear brothers and sisters, please don't interpret my failure to visit you as indifference, because many times I've intended to come to you, but have not been released to do so up to now. For I long to enjoy a harvest of spiritual fruit among you, like I have experienced among the nations. Love obliges me to preach to everyone, to those who are among the elite and those who are among the outcasts, to those who are wise and educated, as well as to those who are foolish and unlearned. This is why I'm so excited about coming to preach the wonderful message of Jesus Christ to you in Rome. I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere. This gospel, it unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. This is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. Is your spirit not stirred? Is that not delicious? Can you taste and see the glorious goodness of God in those words? How encouraging, how empowering. Let's hear it again. But this time we're going to change pronouns. I've taken a little liberty in here of expanding some words because they're important for today's message. You're welcome to read along with me, or you're welcome to just listen and allow your spirit to drink it in. We, the Cambridge Vineyard, a loving and loyal servant of the Anointed One, Jesus. He called us to be his apostles, a delegate, messenger, one sent forth with orders. And he set us apart with a mission, Isaiah 61, to reveal God's wonderful gospel. We write this letter to all his beloved chosen ones in Nicaragua. For you have been divinely summoned to be holy in his eyes. May the joyous grace, the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the man and the woman that God sees when he looks at you, may that grace and total well-being flow from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest upon you. Our commission is to preach the good news. Yet it is not entirely new, but the fulfillment of the hope promised to us through the many prophecies found in the sacred scriptures. For the gospel is all about God's Son. As a man, he descended from David's royal lineage, but as the mighty Son of God, he was raised from the dead and miraculously set apart with a display of triumphant power supplied by the Spirit of holiness, the very same Spirit that lives in you and rests upon you, the promise of the Father. And now, Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah, through him, a joyous pronouncing of grace, the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the man and the woman that God sees when he looks at you. May it cascade into you, empowering us with the gift of apostleship, to be a delegation of messengers, ones that are sent forth with orders, so that we can win people from every nation into a faithful commitment to Jesus to bring honor to his name. And you are among the chosen ones who received the call to belong to Jesus, the Anointed One. We give thanks to God for all of you, because it's through your conversion to Jesus Christ that the testimony of your strong, persistent faith is spreading throughout the city, the country, the continent, and the globe. And God knows. He knows that we pray for you continually and at all times. For we passionately serve and worship him with our spirits in the gospel of his Son. Our desire and consistent prayer is that we would be able to come and visit you according to the plan and the timing of God. We yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you. For we long to impart to you the gift of the Spirit that will empower you to stand strong in your faith. Now, this means that when we come together and are side by side, something wonderful is going to be released. We can expect to be co-encouraged and co-comforted by one another in each other's faith. So my dear brothers and sisters in Nicaragua, please don't interpret our failure to visit you as indifference. Because many times we've intended to come, but have not been released to do so up until now. For we long to enjoy a harvest of spiritual fruit among you, like we have experienced here in the city and in other nations. Love obliges us to preach to everyone, to those who are among the elite and those who are among the outcasts, to those who are wise and educated, as well as to those who are foolish and unlearned. This is why we are so excited about coming to preach the wonderful message of Jesus to you in Nicaragua. We refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For we are thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. The Jew first, and then people everywhere. The gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness. we are right with God. A perfect righteousness given to each one of us who believes. And it moves us from receiving life through faith and continuing to receive life through faith to be empowered in the power of living by faith. For this is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. The word of the Lord. And it does not excuse any of us, but beckons us to step out of our fears and join him. Like Paul, the Cambridge Vineyard is called by the Lord Jesus to carry out a mission. That mission is found in Isaiah 61. From the moment I first came to the Cambridge Vineyard, I was told this prophetically was its mission statement, Isaiah 61. Again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. And it says, the mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me as a messenger to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell captives, you are free, and to tell prisoners, be free from darkness. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies, to comfort all who are in sorrow, to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful banquet in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, and a mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. They will restore ruins from long ago and rebuild what was long devastated. They will renew ruined cities and desolations of past generations. Foreigners will be appointed to shepherd your many flocks. Strangers will cultivate your fields and tend your vines, but you will be known as priests of Yahweh and called servants of our God. You will feast on the wealth of nations and revel in their riches, but you received a double dose of shame and dishonor. You will inherit a double portion of endless joy and everlasting bliss. For I, Yahweh, love fairness and justice, and I hate stealing and sin. I will rightly repay them because of my faithfulness and enter into an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed will be famous among the nations, and their descendants the center of attention of the people. All who see them will recognize that they are the seed that Yahweh has blessed with favor. Isaiah 61. Verses 1 to 9. We are a people. We are a church with a mission. We do it daily, be it downstairs in Urban Hope, 4 times a week, which is now starting 5 times a week very shortly, Monday through Sunday, really, 5 Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays and Sundays. We do this at the Oaks with every family that comes in. 52 families, Kylie? 52 families. We do this daily as we're here on the property, encountering the neighbors who come on to enjoy the beauty of the grounds. We do this daily with our neighbors, the people we encounter, as Ian was praying out, when we're at the grocery store, driving our cars, you know, going to work or to school. It doesn't matter what we do or where we are a missional people because the one we serve has a mission. All four of the missionaries supported by this house came from among us. The stewards of Impact Nations, the Rays, who also minister in Brazil, they were both lead pastors from this church. The Snells, hi Snells, who are hosting right now online, who minister in Brazil, and the Ticklers, who minister in Nicaragua. People like you and me sitting in those seats. We are missional. That is our sweet spot. We've been called to build people up, to restore their dignity, to give them hope, to lift their chins, empower them with the hope of the gospel and the freedom from shame, fear, anxiety, you name it, I don't care what it is, sickness, disease, even death, that Christ bought and paid for. Those things, all the negatives, he paid for them. They belong to him. And when we decide to cloak ourselves in these things, we steal from him the things he paid for. They belong to him. Because he has given us robes of righteousness. When God looks at us, he sees his son. And his son is on a mission. When you spend any amount of time with Jesus, you quickly find out that he has a deep, deep love for people everywhere. Creed, color, doesn't matter what their faith system is, what their lifestyles are. It doesn't matter if they're young or they're old, strong, rich, poor, you know, feeble. It doesn't matter. Missing limbs, completely whole in their limbs. He doesn't care. He loves them all. Why is it that he does that? Because in God, there is perfect community. There's unity. There is honor. There is service and love. Jesus shares all of this with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this perfect community that they share, they eagerly paid a costly price to invite us into it so that we could experience unity, honor, the joy of service, and love. Not only can we do that with Father God, Papa, as I like to call him, Jesus, the one that's closer than a brother to us, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our guide. But this is possible even amongst us and despite distance. One of the joys on this trip was finding a kindred spirit in conversation. I went, oh, you're crazy just like me. Oh, I love it. I love when Jesus does things like that. You mean I'm not alone? I'm crazy and you're crazy and this is great. It was in a moment of spending time with Jesus that he began to speak about our missionaries in the spring of 2022. listening to his heart for them, for us, it became very clear that in order for us to attain traction in a season of momentum, we, the Cambridge Vineyard, and our missionaries needed to connect with each other. The picture that began to form was of a tapestry being woven with different colors going through it. And so, you know, when you finish a color, if you've ever done, you know, crochet or knitting or anything, you come to a color, but you want to use it again. You're not necessarily going to tie it off. You might wait and weave it through somewhere else and then come back again. Well, there was these strings, four of them, beautiful colors in the tapestry of the Cambridge Vineyard. And they were hanging there, waiting to be woven back in, back into the fabric of who we are in the design of the calling God has called us to. You might say right now, but I can't do that. I'm not evangelistic. Who God calls, he empowers, just so you know. I never thought I'd be up here talking to you. I was afraid of every adult there was and felt very comfortable in and amongst the children. They were safe for me. But who God calls, he empowers. You know, the Lord hears our heart's cry, our unspoken prayers. He knows our needs and the way forward, and he is not double-minded in his purpose for us as individuals, for our small little church, for the broader body of Christ, or those he is preparing still to become his own. He's not double-minded. He has one mind. And the Father is determined to make us into the image of his Son, bearing his Son's likeness, and has granted us the power of the Holy Spirit to seal the deal. It's a done deal. There is nothing that you could possibly do that is going to kibosh his plan. Because when he says, this is what I'm going to do, he is a God of promises. He's not a man that he would lie. He will fulfill it. So guess what? Whether you like it or not, you're in for an upgrade. And that upgrade is you're going to look, you're going to smell, you're going to taste, you're going to feel like Jesus, whether you like it or not. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. Listen to what Romans 8, 28 to 29 says in the Passion Translation. It says, so we are convinced that every detail, every circumstance, every easy place, every hard place, okay? Every bit of resistance, every door closed and every door open, every poopy diaper that you have, every vomit you put on the floor when you feel like, I did it again. It's okay. He's not worried about it. You know, Saoirse, she poops and she gets food all over her and spits up and we're just delighted to change her diaper. I mean, and if we are sinful, oh, how much more does God want to change our diapers when we make a mess? It's not a big deal for him. He comes rushing in. So you know what? Your response should be, yes, Papa. I so need a diaper change. So we are convinced that every detail in our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good. Bringing what? Good. You're awake? You heard me? What? What are we bringing? Good. To bring good. All of his goodness, which is his glory. Because when Moses said, oh God, if I have found favor with you, show me your glory. And what did God say? Let me hide you here in the cliff of the rock. I'm going to put my hand on you and all of my yummy, yummy goodness, taste and see it. It's going to pass by you. And then I'm going to take my hand off. You're going to see the backside of me. Why? Because I'm leading you forward. Yummy, delicious goodness, taste and see. Bring good into our lives. If it's not good, he's not done. You just hold on and you keep holding on and you hold on with an expectation of good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Who he calls, he qualifies. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the very beginning to share in the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest amongst a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. FYI, if you didn't know, he's talking about you and me. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe what he says about you? Because he's not a man that he would lie. When you spend enough time looking at people with Jesus, through his perspective, you quickly find his love for them is absolutely contagious. It is a virus with superpowers. There is no way when you're in his presence, looking at people through his eyes, through his mindset, through the way he thinks about them, that you are not going to fall in love with that person. And I don't care if they're your enemy. That's why he invites us into the closet of prayer. Come, pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you, because you are ready for an upgrade. The more time spent listening to the Lord's heart for our missionaries and his call to become more intentionally, do you hear me? Intentionally present with them, the more our own hearts began to leap with possibilities. From these moments with the Lord came Mission Brazil 2023, happening in the fall. Coffee with a purpose out there. Our coffee every morning, only Tickler coffee for a reason. And when the Brazil team, Jen and Phil, get their coffee going, it's going to be out there too. Coffee with a purpose. So please rethink your Sunday morning stop to Tim Hortons or Starbucks or even the cup of coffee you're going to make at home. And invest here into the mission. And out of this also came the plan to double our mission support in 2023. All of this was born in the presence of God. It accomplishes phase one, phase two, and phase three of a multi-phased plan towards intentionality. It was also around this time that I felt like the Lord was calling me to go to Nicaragua on behalf of CV. I kept hearing Romans 1. I yearn to come to you. I yearn to come to you. And the day I left talking to Claire's daughter in the living room, I was on my knees packing my suitcase with quilts and curtains. And I started to cry and I said, I feel so honored. Like there's something so preciously holy in this, that God would ask me to represent us to Peter and Yesenia, who have been there for almost 20 years working hard, and not any one of us has gone to see them. That's okay, because it wasn't time yet. Romans 1. In that I felt, and I said this, that it was time to regather one of the colorful strings in the tapestry of our design and begin to weave it back into the fabric of who we are. Because we need them in order to move forward, and they need us. In preparation, the Lord had made it clear that the goal was to build up, strengthen, edify, support, encourage, and minister to Peter and Yesenia. And in order for that to happen effectively, I was to take Jen Snell with me, whom the Lord had already spoken to years earlier, placing the same desire in their hearts for Peter and Yesenia. So it is with great pleasure that we, Jen and Phil, get to introduce you to the ministry that Peter and Yesenia do in Nicaragua called BZAC Ministries. Quickly into our stay, both Jen and I realized the precious gift that the Lord had granted the two of us to be called to Nicaragua. The Ticklers have been instrumental in bringing not only the gospel message to thousands of children, but they have also set up feeding centers, purchased medical supplies for needy families, handed out food boxes to families that have, so that they could have something to eat and deliver that to their homes. They have supplied uniforms for children so that they can attend school because their parents can't afford the uniforms, and so the children cannot go. They provide training for teachers so that they can run effectively their Sunday school programs and thrive in backyard Bible clubs. They support pastors. They have ministered to children in churches, at the dump, in backyards, in villages, schools, cities, and on the island throughout Nicaragua. There is nowhere that these two won't go in order to bring the hope of the gospel message to children. So now it's time to introduce you to Peter and Yesenia.
My name is Yesenia Ordóñez. But people know me as Yesenia Tigular because I'm married to a Canadian, Peter Tigular. And I have been in ministry since 1995 when I received the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And since then, I have been serving faithfully to the Lord.
My name is Peter Tigular, and I've been here in Nicaragua for almost 20 years. I got interested in doing missions when I went with the Cambridge Vineyard to Guatemala with a mission called Hearts with the Children Ministry. That's where God placed the interest, the seed in my heart to work as a missionary. God has placed, I feel, a favor with children on my life because I don't have to work hard at relating with them. And so I feel that connection with them, that heart with them too.
What I love the most is working with people, and especially because I don't only lead people to Christ, but also I can see the needs that people have. My focus when I work with children is not only to identify their physical needs, but especially what their spiritual needs are. I can see, I try to talk to them and I try to find out what they do, how they are doing in their families, what kind of family they are in. All that information I like to establish with the kids when I work.
Didn't know that that part of Peter existed. Peter is very calm, sort of like an introvert. And the first time I saw him, says, "Who is that man up there?" It was quite a treat to see him flow in the Holy Spirit, teach the kids. He opened up his heart, and the passion of his heart was really exposed. And I was really, really moved by that. Real Peter is a very dynamic carrier, messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his passion is for the children and the people of Nicaragua. Very refreshing to see.
In regards to feeling isolated, yes, at times it's difficult to be away from family. Sometimes, especially these last few years, it's been more difficult for me.
In my personal opinion, many times the missionary feels alone, not being able to share with others the emotional or spiritual battles or frustrations that missionaries face many, many times. In my case, for example, there have been times when I have felt alone, and sometimes it is because you want to appear that you are strong before other people.
One of the most difficult things with having over the years working as a missionary has been raising funds, because we are all required to raise our own funds.
This support is not only to cover your own personal expenses, but also for ministry expenses. It takes a lot of time to do the advertisement and to do also what you are called to do, which is what you have to do in the ministry.
When you spend time getting to know the people that Jesus so deeply loves, you best be prepared for something wonderfully powerful to be released. We visited three churches while we were there on Ometepe Island. The first church expected 65 kids to show up, and 135 came. After Peter so dynamically, and we all went, "Who is that guy?" We were all shocked. It was a Peter we hadn't yet seen in the days leading up to that particular event. Three quarters of the children gave their lives to the Lord. We prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and children with scoliosis were brought to us so that we could pray for them. At the second church that we encountered, it was a smaller church, a tiny little place. And there they expected 30 kids to show up, and 50 came. Three little boys gave their lives to the Lord that day. One of them was 7 years old. He was the oldest of 10 children. After he received the Lord and we prayed for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come on him, Jen and I asked through the interpreter, Peter, "Hey, is there anything that this little guy wants prayer for?" And he said, "I want you to pray for my mom." And so we said, what would you like prayer for your mom for? And he said, she beats me. So we led him through a prayer of forgiveness and made an exchange with the Lord, giving him the pain and the unforgiveness, the sorrow, the disappointment that he carried with him, the expectation. And as we did that, we asked him to ask the Lord what it was that the Lord wanted to give him in exchange for all of that. The seven-year-old said, I feel like a wing has come to cover me. A seven-year-old. And I said, Peter, that's in scripture. There's no way this seven-year-old knows the word like that to be able to pull out, I will hide you under the shadow of my wings for protection. When you get to know the people Jesus so deeply loves, you best be prepared for something wonderfully powerful to be released. The third church we went to was the smallest by far of all three churches. They expected about 25 to 30 children, and the church was packed from front to back. They actually had to go to neighbors and get chairs, and there was overflow outside for children to sit and to listen. That day also, many came to the Lord. But in and amongst those was a little boy who had fallen 2 days earlier, and they don't know where he fell from, how high, they had no clue. He was pale as anything. You saw us there praying for him with a little yellow bandana. He had a fever and was vomiting, and he complained of pain in his shoulder. We prayed for him. He went to the hospital. There's not really a hospital on the island, just so you know. He went to the clinic, and they did nothing. No pain medicine, nothing. This is 2 days later, and he's vomiting. After we prayed for him, Jesenia said, we need to drive them to Moyagolpa. How am I saying this right? Moyagolpa. Right? That's where the hospital is. We drove them there. It was a 45-minute drive, Claire. And we gathered up some money in order to give it to Mom so that she could buy medicine, so he could have an ultrasound and x-rays. We had plans, and all those plans were cast aside to help this little boy. One of the stories that we heard while we were there was of Peter at a garbage dump, and you saw a photo there. And at the garbage dump, he encountered a little boy and preached to him the good news of Jesus' love for him. And the little boy's response was, but how can he love me when I'm so dirty? And Peter's reassurance was, it doesn't matter what you look like, what you smell like, who you are. Jesus loves you. And right there, in the midst of dirt and garbage and dump trucks and flies and smells, you can imagine it, yeah? The kingdom of heaven broke in. I was told a story of Jesenia ministering to four generations of one family through the Bible clubs. Four generations. That talks about some serious faithfulness and consistency. I was told a story about a pastor who was discouraged because no matter what he tried in the north of Nicaragua, he could not get children or youth into his church. And three people, not a multitude, three people who couldn't speak Spanish decided that they were going to knock on doors and invite children to come to this event. And Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, was it 100 children showed up? More than 100 children showed up? 300. 300 children showed up. 300. To hear and receive the gospel. And it so encouraged that pastor in that community that things that felt hopeless hope was breathed into it. And then there was another story in the very, very north, yes, Claire, of Nicaragua, where they expected 100 children and 700 children walked for miles to come and hear the gospel. When you spend time getting to know the people that Jesus so desperately loves, you best be prepared for something wonderfully powerful to be released. On Ometepe Island, Claire and her husband John purchased a piece of property that they have been working on for years. 3 years ago, John passed away, 3.5 years ago, and passed that baton of finishing the goal to prepare the way to Claire. And these people that I showed you today, they are the people who have been faithfully going to see that vision come to pass. While we were there, we quickly realized that God was now taking this one step further. And he wanted to create a network amongst our four missionaries. Jen came. Jen learned some coffee stuff from Claire. And when Jen and Phil arrive in May for furlough, they're going to go see Claire. Claire's going to talk to them about roasting, show them how to roast. They're going to work out a system of some kind. And we are going to be asking Art and Cindy Ray if they will actually come and pastor Peter and Yesenia. Peter desperately wants to see the power of the Holy Spirit move while he ministers to those children for healings and all that other stuff. So guess what? We're calling the stewards in. It's time for networking. It's time for teams. It's time for the strings in our tapestry to be woven back in because Jesus has a mission. So in talking to Peter and Yesenia, we have come up with a plan. And we are going to put together a team for 2024 to join them in Nicaragua. Ava, can you show that video?
When you have the message of the gospel that will bring them out of where they are into abundant life, that's what I see here. The potential is phenomenal.
My name is Bonnie, and I've been to Nicaragua 4 times. I thoroughly enjoy watching the kids come into the church. They are dressed to the nines. When they pray, their hands are up, or when they want to receive, their hands are like this. Warms my heart.
I am Suzanne, and I know Peter and Yesenia through their parents, John and Claire. It's not the kind of mission trip you come on to build something or that kind of mission trip. It's kids. You come, you have fun with the kids, you play with the kids, laugh with the kids, even though you don't speak the language, and just share the gospel through your hymn comes to mind, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And all his compassion and purity. I want Jesus to come out because I would fail beyond whatever. I wouldn't do a good job. So,
my name is Marge Vanderschaff, and I've known Peter since he was a baby because he's my nephew. This is my 13th trip. You know, be prepared to be really flexible. It's Nicaragua time and plans change all the time, but it's different from a vacation. You get to meet the people who live here, and they're lovely people. And you get to see what's happening firsthand with the ministry that Peter and Yesenia are doing to see what a difference it makes, whether you're going to the feeding center and feeding kids or whether they're teaching, just interacting with the kids. It's just a great place to come and just to see what's happening.
If you're interested in joining me in 2024, connect with me. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. It's going to be awesome. Peter and Yesenia have needs, though. They need to raise a minimum of $1,000 in monthly support. They have to pay off a debt that they owe to CEF, who has been covering them and the shortfall of their support. The monies that they do get is not only for their personal needs, but also for the needs of the ministry. They need prayer support. They need encouragement. They need promotional support. Ministry needs for BSAC Center, bunk beds. They need money to buy bunk beds, mattresses to take from double sizes to single sizes and create pillows out of. They need supplies. And they need administrative support. Now, let me tell you something. We have purchasing power here that they do not have there. And our $5, if that's all you can afford, goes a long way there. So don't minimize the loonies and toonies in your pocket if you can't give hundreds and thousands. They won't care. It's $1,000. It's a simple thing. I want to thank everybody who stuck around this long with me. I know I talk a lot, but I couldn't take the impact. And there's still so much more I could have told you. And there's another video that we're working on that goes deeper into the story. We want to see them thrive. They're a part of us. They came from this house. They are us. We cannot turn a blind eye. That scripture that says, if you know that someone's in need, you don't just pass them on the back and say, hey there, buddy. Hope it all works out for you. Especially if what they need you have in your pocket. So those of you who need to go, I bless you to go. But if you want to stick around and the worship team's going to come and do their thing, and we're going to open up the front for prayer. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for us that we have the wisdom to understand what's before us, because there are two things that Proverbs tells us we should set as our goals in life in Proverbs 3. One is wisdom, and the second, to understand your purpose. Because if you know those two things, nothing will distract you or deviate you. We have a purpose. We have a mission. We have a goal.